too aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and it's such a true joy to be here with you all today. Thank you so much for joining me in this conversation that inspires positive growth and change. I want to mention that I also have a TV show on Gaia TV, and you can check that out. I have about 222 episodes on that network right now, and climbing with new episodes. The website is inspirationsongaia.com. It's inspirations on Gaia, which is spelled G-A-I-A.com, and you can just check out all of the great, amazing people that I've interviewed there on video and all of their latest work. So check that out for sure. So time. Let's talk about time. Time is such an interesting topic. Sometimes it seems to fly by when you're having fun. Sometimes it seems to go really slow and take forever, like if you're in a boring class. But it's one thing is for sure about time, is it's something you cannot get back. Joining me is the CEO of the Intrigue Agency, Sam Horn, and she is here to talk about the fact that someday is not a day in the week. Right, Sam? Welcome.
Why, thank you, Lisa. I'm looking forward to sharing some stories and some insights with your listeners.
Absolutely. Someday. So it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, someday, Fridays. That doesn't really work, does it? Right there between Wednesday and Thursday. Someday. I wish.
Well, you know, Lisa, where that came from is you may know that I took off on my year by the water, and I had an opportunity to sail the Chesapeake Bay and swim with Zach the Dolphin and watch whales breach off Maui. And almost to a person, people would hear about this, and they would gaze off into the distance, and they would say, someday I'm going to do something like that. Mm. And to them, I would say, someday is not a day in the week.
That's a great point. So why did you take that year off, by the way, a year by the water? What was happening before then?
You know, it took a wake-up call. I had a health scare, and that helped me realize that, as the Buddha said, the thing is, we think we have time. And I was so busy that I just kept putting off things I really wanted to do, assuming that they would be there waiting for me someday. And it was my son, Andrew, who said, Mom, you're an entrepreneur. You know, you have a business, which means you can do anything you want, and you're not taking advantage of it. And he was right. And I thought about, what do I really want to do? I want to write. I want to be by water. And I want and still need to work and help people with their books and their TED Talks. And I could do all that on the road. So why wait till I retire? Why not do it right now? And that's what I did.
Well, fascinating. You know, I was listening to a talk this weekend that said that entrepreneurship is the new normal, that it is now the majority of especially graduating teenagers and young adults, that it is the new normal in terms of a career, because those great jobs that you get out there might last a year, year and a half. They go away. They lay off. The industry changes. Those 30, 40-year jobs with the pension are far and few between these days. So that is – I just want to expand on that a little bit, the power of entrepreneurship. Two things with it. One is there's a great freedom. Second thing is you are always tied to your work, Sam.
See, and Lisa, I'm really asking people right now, what is something you're good at? And if you are good at something, then the question is, how can you get people to pay you to do that for them or to teach that to them? Because whether you're good at training dogs or whether you're good at gardening or whether you're good at fixing cars or whatever, if you are good at something, you can leverage that into a career where you're doing work that matters, that you enjoy, with people that you respect. And, you know, you are the boss of you. If you can figure out what you're good at, that people would pay you to do for them or teach to them.
Hmm. Now, have you done this your whole life? There, you have a great company called the Intrigue Agency. Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, you are right, and I have been fortunate to do that all my life. Catherine Graham of the Washington Post said, to do what you love and feel that it matters, how can anything be more fun? And so what I did, I helped start the Maui Writers Conference, and at our very first year, I was watching people pitch their books. They'd spent years on these books. Here they had an opportunity to talk face-to-face with Ron Howard about their screenplay or the head of Doubleday about their book. And they didn't know how to clearly and concisely and compellingly describe it in 60 seconds. So see, that's the genesis of becoming an entrepreneur. See a problem and you think somebody should do something about this. Second step, I'm as much as somebody as anybody. I'm going to do something about that. So I came up with a way to create a concise and compelling description of what it is you have to offer in 60 seconds or less. I wrote about that. I speak about that all around the world. People pay me to teach that to them or do that for them. And it all started with, you see a problem, something's wrong. People are frustrated with something. They're not good at something. They don't want to do something. That is an opportunity waiting to happen if you leverage it.
Hmm. And the website, one of the websites that Sam has is called serendestiny.com. And that's where you wrote about your year by the water, right?
That's right.
Okay. The Intrigue Agency is where you write about how to help. And this is great. This is a great point because you don't have to just do one thing. As you go through your journey in life, you realize that you're good at several things, right? And it's also the journey of an entrepreneur.
See, Lisa, I'm so happy that you get this, and I hope everyone listening does too, is that if you have multiple talents, maybe in the business world, maybe you're good at meeting people and closing deals or creating relationships, and maybe you like to ride horses. Well, let me tell you an example of someone how combined their work and recreation instead of seeing them as separate is that this woman was a financial advisor for Legg Mason. Now, the thing was is that she didn't have time to ride horses anymore. But I said to her, no, there are people who have horses who will pay you to ride them. I said, so why not take 1 month a year, go to Boca Raton, where dressage is, polo is, international show jumping is, and so forth. Because there are people there who, if you're a good rider, they will pay you to exercise their horses. But, of course, this is also an affluent group of people who came to know Leslie and trust her and then often chose to do business with her. So, do you see, we do not have to see our passion and our profession as separate. We can often blend them so that we're doing what we love and we're getting paid for it, and now we have the best of both worlds instead of being torn between two worlds.
That's so interesting. I mean, you essentially did the same thing. You created the Intrigue Agency, and you really teach people how to do TED Talks, which is a thing we're going to get into in a second, because that's a huge benefit. But also, you wanted to take this break, and now you're a year by the water. You've written about it. You've connected with so many people while you were out there that you took on this journey with you, some that couldn't travel or couldn't afford the travel or couldn't take the time off, or you were just an inspiration to. Mm-hmm. And what were some of the results of that with some of the people that you took on your journey with you?
You know, and once again, you're bringing up such a great point, is that we see this as a risk. In our country, we have been taught that doing what we want is selfish or frivolous or indulgent, and that it's not the responsible thing to do, and that we have to do a regular job to pay the bills or to take care of our family. And I am a woman on a mission to tell you, no, that I'm going to recommend that in the next couple of weeks, if you see a quality arts and crafts fair, or if you go to a farmer's market, go. And when people aren't busy, ask them their story. because they are walking, talking role models of what we're talking to about. When I went on my year by the water, I didn't know that I was going to turn it into a career, a book about this. I didn't know that people were going to pay me to come in and speak to Mechanical Contractors of America about it. It was just that my experiences and my lessons learned are metaphors for trusting that when we do something that puts the light on in our eyes, other people want to hear about it, read about it, learn how to do it themselves. And if you can, I tell you a quick story about a great arts and craft fair that really embodies everything we're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I pulled into Savannah, and a craft fair for the whole South was there. Well, once again, when people aren't busy, I would say, so what's your story? All you have to do is ask those questions, four words, so what's your story? Here was a woman who, for Christmas gifts, made white chocolate macadamia nut toffee for her friends. Mm. Well, her friends loved it and said, we want more. So she started making bigger batches, and they kept asking for more, and she started selling it at her local farmer's market. And they wanted no more, so she started traveling around the South. Well, she has now been featured in Oprah's magazine as one of her favorite things. She now sells to corporate clients around the world. Her husband, who was an executive with Marriott, you know, his wife kept telling her that people would drive for hours to come and buy her toffee. And he thought they were just being nice until he went with her to one of these weekend festivals and he saw them sell out. And he quit his executive career in the hospitality industry. They now have a huge warehouse. They ship around the world. Now, who, you know, Martin Luther King said, you don't have to see the whole staircase to take the first step. She did was make good toffee. And look at what the staircase it's turned into.
And who doesn't want white chocolate macadamia nut toffee? That sounds so good. I mean, that's a great, great story, is turning your passion into something that you love. And just starting there, to your quote.
Yeah.
You don't have to see the whole thing and quit your job right away and do all that. It's, and as I mentioned earlier, entrepreneurship is the new normal. And so if you have, they call it a side hustle these days. You're familiar with that term, right?
Sure.
So, yeah, if you have something that you've got as a side hustle, as an interest, as something that is really exciting to you and motivates you, you can just start somewhere. And I mean, you started with your year by the water. I know your incredible son has this great topic that he talks about with men these days. And what do we talk? I mean, what do we say as millennial men? And how do we treat women? And that's a great topic. I mean, everything has to start somewhere, and it's usually out of a mission. Yeah.
See, Lisa, you're so right about with Andrew. You know, many men these days, a woman will tell them about being sexually assaulted or will tell them about prejudice against her in the workplace. And many men think, hey, I'm a good guy. I didn't do it.
Right.
Or they'll think that happened a long time ago. Why are you holding me responsible? And of course, that understandable reaction just makes things worse. And so Andrew started off with five guys one weekend, just talking about how as men, can we be more supportive to the women in our life, even if we feel we're not to blame? It's just we love them, care them, and want to be more proactive in supporting them. Well, now that was just covered by CNBC, his men's groups.
Brilliant.
Now these weekends have grown. He's offering them, and it started with five friends over a weekend. And one of my favorite stories, and now for all of our listeners, I want you to be thinking about, what gets you up in the morning? What do you look forward to? What's even what you think is a hobby or just something you do in your spare time, but that's meaningful to you? How can you leverage that? Here's one of my favorite stories. I'm out walking my dog around the lake back in Reston, Virginia, and two women come up to me and ask if I'm interested in not a dog walking service, but a dog running service. Now, I'm really curious, and I ask, what's your story? Well, One was a radio advertising sales executive. One was in the insurance agency. So see, now they're working big full-time jobs, big executive salaries, but they're both triathletes. In fact, one is an endurance athlete that does 50 milers, and they were like not having time to train. So now combine what you want to do with a problem that people have. Well, they noticed in our neighborhood that a lot of these dogs were cooped up all day long. The owners were out of the house by 6 in the morning. Sometimes they didn't come back until 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. Mm. You have Australian Shepherds, Border Collies, Labs cooped up inside all day long. And even if they had a dog walking service, people would come and walk them around the block, which is not nearly enough for these active dogs. So what did they do? They now run a business called Doggone Fitness, more than a walk around the block. They take these dogs out to Great Falls with them on 10-mile training runs. You know, they take them out, you know, on cross-country runs. So the dogs are happy, the owners are happy, they're happy, and they're making a very good living once again, leveraging what they love, combining their passion and profession, and doing work that matters and earning a good living.
So creative. I love that. So you take what you want and what you want to do. You combine what you want to do with a need that needs to be filled. And you just open your eyes and look around. And a lot of people do that with these apps, and they're getting super creative with apps and how they can make your quality of life a little easier. And it's just a way of doing things. Those are, that's a, I mean, we see this every single day. So what could you do if you have a full-time job? You mentioned, what would you do if you could play hooky for a day? What would you do? I love that question.
You know, Randy Pausch, who wrote his book, The Last Lecture, as a message in a bottle to his family, he said, never, ever underestimate the importance of having fun. He said, I am going to have fun every remaining day of my life. And yet many of us with the Puritan work ethic, you know, we're working 60 hours a week. We think fun is something we do when our work is done. And so even if you cannot take hooky for a day, that was what my son Andrew said, Mom. He said, you know, you're working yourself to death. He said, I don't understand this. And he said, I'm going to book you into a hotel there tonight. Tomorrow, play hooky for a day and figure out what you really want the rest of your life to look like and how you can start that now instead of waiting for someday. Well, I was in Laguna Beach, and you know, he booked me into a hotel. A half an hour later, instead of taking a red eye back to Washington, D.C., I was listening to the sounds of the waves outside my open window. And that next morning, I was drawn as if by a magnet to the Laguna Beach bookstore. And I was drawn to those books, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron and Bird by Bird by Annie Lamott. And what welled up in me was, I am a writer. That's what I am. And yet I had fallen victim to the consultant creative conundrum. And the consultant creative conundrum is where we end up facilitating other people's work instead of focusing on our own. And I'd been so busy as a consultant, I'd put my own books, writing projects on hold. And I realized it's not selfish to do more of what we want. It's smart. And that's what I'm asking people right now. Gertrude Stein said, writing is the only thing that when I'm doing it, I don't want to be doing anything else.
I know Sam from a great organization we're with called TLC, and we'll go on these four-day, their educational retreats, and Sam spends every break, every morning, every evening with people, helping them with their businesses, completely just free consulting, and you are so gracious with your time. You actually received an award from this group with how gracious you are with your time. And I love that you are that way. And your relationship with your son, the fact that he sent you out on the water, is so awesome. He's one of the most creative people I've ever met. My God, your son. Happy wedding to your son and one of the most phenomenal women that he married. They just had a 3-day wedding festival, kind of like a, I mean, was it amazing? Was it incredible?
Is this a rhetorical question?
Oh, my God. So creative. A 3-day kind of wedding camp out festival. And that was the actual wedding. Was it amazing in the middle of it all?
See, why it was so amazing, of course I'm partial, was it was a celebration of love and community. It was people came together and yoga in the morning and singing and talent shows and dancing and by a lake outside in nature. And so, you know, what I'm asking people is that if, you know, look at your calendar, put a date on the calendar sometime in the next couple of weeks where you're going to get together with a friend or with friends, maybe people you keep telling yourself you're going to get together with and you never have time. Fill out this little, do we have time for a quick quiz?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Because if you spend at the beginning of this time together just filling out this 4-box, 4-minute happiness quiz, then the rest of the time together you can spend on how you're going to bring more of this into your life.
Oh, good.
I always remember a young man. He was 32 years old. He had 2 kids. Both his wife and himself worked full time. One of his kids had special needs. And I said, "What's your dream?" And do you know what he said, Lisa? "I don't dream anymore. It's too painful." You know, Lisa, so many of us don't dream anymore, or it's been, we're taking care of other people. Maybe we have parents with dementia. Maybe we're paying off college debt. Maybe we have run a business and we've got payroll to meet and we're serving everyone else's needs and we've taken ourselves out of our own story. So this little quiz can help us figure out how to put ourselves back in our own story, even with one thing that would put the light on in our eyes. Ready?
Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, I have an aging, ill parent. I have a teenage daughter, and I own 2 businesses. I don't have any time, Sam. Yeah. So I'd love you to help me with that.
And Lisa, you know that most people have some version of that, right?
Of course.
Lots of work responsibilities, family responsibilities, and it feels like I don't have time, and if I did have time, I would quickly be filled up, but not with what I wanted to do, with other responsibilities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the time, I don't have time to do all the other things. Okay,
that's right.
Help me out.
Okay, now unless someone's driving, grab pen and paper, and now, Lisa, do you have paper in front of you there by any chance?
I do. I've written a box, 4-box,
okay,
4-sided
box. Now divide it into 4 quadrants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the left box is, left upper box is 1, right upper box is 2, left lower box is 3, and right lower box is 4. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
All right. Now, in box number 1, upper left, and just write as fast as you can. Just write down anything that comes to mind without censoring it. What are you doing in your life that you want to? So maybe with your health, maybe you're working out every day or you're walking every day you want to. Maybe with relationships, maybe you have date night with your spouse every week you want to. Maybe with money, you're saving money and you want to. Maybe hobbies, maybe, you know, you're a mountain biker.
Mm-hmm. That's what I wrote. I love that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So what are you doing in your life that you want to? Now, box 2, what are you not doing and you want to? Maybe what you're not doing that you want to is get 8 hours of sleep. Maybe what you're not doing that you want to is write a book or start your own business or speak more or travel more. So what are you not doing that you want to?
Okay.
Now in box 3, what are you doing that you don't want to? Maybe you're working 60 hours a week. Maybe you're commuting 2 hours a day. Maybe you're fighting with a loved one. Maybe what you're doing that you don't want to is you're overeating or eating carbs or something. So what are you doing that you don't want to?
Mm-hmm.
Now in box 4, what are you not doing and you don't want to? And I know that's a double negative. It's just maybe at one time in your life you smoked and you quit and you're not doing it and you don't want to. maybe at one time in your life you lived in the suburbs and you were commuting 2 hours a day, and you moved into the city and you're not commuting anymore and you don't want to. So now, please circle the responses in box one and in box four. That is what is contributing to your quality of life. That is what that's what helps make your life feel right, or that's actually feeding happiness. Now please circle the responses in box two and three.
Okay.
And that's what's compromising your quality of life. That's what makes life feel wrong sometimes. And the thing is, I don't know anyone who's perfect, so we're always going to have things in box two and three. Do you know what the question is? Two words. How long? Because John Foster Dulles said, the mark of a successful organization isn't whether or not it has problems. It's whether it has the same problems it had last year.
It goes back to the time question that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that you can't get it back.
And that we assume that it'll be there waiting for us when we're not so busy. But we're never not so busy. Or we assume we'll do that when we retire or when things slow down at work. But when we retire, maybe we don't have the health, or maybe we don't have the loved one we want to do it with, or things will never get not busy at work. So here's the thing. Often in box three, if we can remove or reduce one thing in box three, for example, a lot of people, what they're doing that they don't want to is they're spending too much time on social media, or they're watching too much TV. So now if we put metrics on it, if we just say, okay, I'm going to check social media twice a day, once in the morning, once at night, that's it. Guess what? That can actually free up like an hour a day, which now gives us something, time to do something in box two. For example, there was a couple, and what they were doing that they didn't want is they were kind of sniping at each other. They were both exhausted, and Brené Brown says exhaustion is not a status symbol, and they were busy taking care of their kids and working. And what they were not doing that they wanted to was having date nights. And what they were not doing that they wanted to is they were both gamers. So you know what? Is that they decided one night every 2 weeks, there's something in Facebook where you can put in your zip code, and they were going to host game night at their house. They said, we've got the games. You bring your own beverages. It's from 7 to night every other Tuesday night. Well, they had 12 people show up that first night. Now, for 2 hours every 2 weeks, they're doing something they both enjoy. They're laughing together. They've made friends in their neighborhood for 2 hours every 2 weeks. So see, it doesn't have to be a huge thing. You don't have to take off a year by the water. Often, I have a friend who works for ASAE, American Society of Associations and Execs, a very high-pressure, high-demand job. And when she did this quiz, she realized one thing she really missed was that she used to play the piano. Well, she doesn't have time to play the piano anymore. But you know what? She booked one piano lesson every 2 weeks, because she knows that for that 90 minutes, she's going to play the piano. If she didn't put it on the calendar, instead of a wish, I'm going to play the piano more, yeah, like that's going to happen. No, she has a lesson 90 minutes every 2 weeks. And that one thing sets up this ripple effect where she likes her life again.
That's a great example. My daughter stopped riding horses because it was, just super time consuming and cost prohibitive. And she loves it, though. I mean, it's her happy place. She loves, loves, loves horses. But where we were with this barn, and it was too, it was like a show barn, and it wasn't her. I mean, she was never going to do the horse shows. And so we were talking about it with a friend, and the friend said, why doesn't she come ride with me? There's a friend that owns a bunch of horses in this one ranch. They never get ridden. Can she come out? We go out like one Sunday a month. And I mentioned that to her, and she was so happy rather than taking that whole thing and turning it into a negative and, you know, it's just not, you know, time per and cost prohibitive and all that. It turned it out into something positive. But so without that conversation, that wouldn't have happened. How does somebody start this ball rolling? I love the four boxes because it starts you thinking, but then do you have to talk about it?
And talk about it with your partner or talk about, I even had a work team do this together because many of these conversations never take place. And so people vote with their feet and leave because maybe they're not having an opportunity to do a leadership role or they're not having an opportunity mm-hmm. to be creative or something. So that's what I suggest is the box is the conversation catalyst. And I love your daughter's story because it is such an example of that owning a horse is very expensive, very time consuming. Even when you're not riding, you're feeling guilty for not riding. So it actually becomes something that started out as a pleasure in your life, but now it's just more responsibility and taking up time you don't have.
Yes.
So for you to turn it into like a two-hour ride once a month, now it's something she looks forward to. It's still something in her life that defines her, that goes to her being an equestrian. It's an absence of the toxicity or the stress around it. And it's a win-win because she gets to do it with the friend who has horses and aren't getting ridden or she's having to ride by herself anyway.
Right.
So
yeah.
Michael Altshuler said, the bad news is time flies. The good news is we're the pilot.
I love it. I love that. That is so great. I know that people are going to want to try to reach you or find a way to find out more information on either the Intrigue Agency or your Life by the Water. And how do people find out how to get in touch with Sam Horn or more information on what's next for you?
Well, thank you, Lisa. Let's do three things.
Okay.
Is that number one, if they want to email my business manager, Sherry, Cheri, at intrigueagency.com, we'll send them this box. And they can do it with their family. They can do it
Great.
For themselves. They can do it with a friend over lunch. And then I recommend they post this box on their refrigerator so that it stays in sight, in mind, instead of getting out of sight, out of mind. So Sherry at intrigueagency.com will send you this quiz and instructions on how to fill it out.
And it's Cheri. Okay. That's one.
That's right. Number two is that if they want a dose of inspiration, I really recommend they go to the Saren Destiny site because I've shared my favorite quotes there. I share success stories, especially cynic success stories of people who thought, well, you don't know my life. You know, I can't do this because, and then it shares their inspiring story of one thing they did differently and the impact it's had on their life. And then the third thing is if they want to go to samhorn.com, S-A-M-H-O-R-N, I've got a TEDx talk there with some of the techniques that have helped my clients land millions of dollars of deals in pitching their startups, that has helped them get book deals, it's helped them get booked as a speaker. So if they go to samhorn.com, there's some articles hopefully that will be helpful to them and a TEDx talk that many people show in staff meetings and use to help put together elevator intros that get people's eyebrows up and create friends and business partnerships.
That's fantastic. That's how I met you, is those great, amazing eyebrow tests and raising the eyebrow test. So you're such a wealth of information, and I'm so grateful that you were on samhorn.com. You can email Sherry, Cheri, at intrigueagency.com to get the box of the inspiration box. I don't know what you call it, but that'll get sent to you. What do you call it, Sam?
4 minute, 4 boxes of happiness.
Okay, 4 minute, 4 boxes of happiness, and then serendestiny.com. Thank you so much. Sam is also going to be a guest on my Gaia show, and you can go to inspirationsongaia.com in a couple of weeks. You'll be able to see Sam there in months. All right, just check that out. Thank you, Sam. We'll see you very soon in Denver.
Thank you, Lisa.
Take care.